All right, so this is take two regarding the question, why does someone become a liberal? So that's an overused term, as I've noted, and there are many different applications of that word. So what does the term mean? It's really a relative term, much like conservative. I think it means a great many things to a great many people, depending on the circumstances. Do some liberal-minded people truly have a sense of empathy for others, or are they just feel good in that they like to help? There's technically a distinction there. In that sense, then sometimes even self-professed conservatives can be relatively liberal to the extent that they're willing to help others out, lend a hand, be courteous and kind, open the door for an old woman or something like that, I think a lot of people can do that for a lot of different reasons. You can be polite. So liberal does not necessarily mean just being nice to people or whatever, although that can obviously be a part of it. But a big factor is how people treat a perceived in-group versus a perceived out-group. An in-group for you means that they share in a perceived interest or identity. An out-group is whatever social group with which an individual does not identify. So, for example, when right-wingers rail against multiculturalism, that is obviously them railing against people who are different or that they consider different. Sometimes they might actually have more in common than some people initially believe, but there might be a prejudice or maybe even a superstition about some other group. Stereotypes, all different things are factored into it. Lots of disinformation as well, and propaganda really helps a lot of that kind of stuff happen. And that's the same thing when they trash talk people in the LGBT community, for example. A good example of this would be in a debate with Kyle Kulinski. The right-wing weirdo Jordan Peterson went as far as to claim there is no LGBT community, which immediately has some fascistic, borderline genocidal implications about how he sees that group. So think about that. He denies that they could even be viewed as a community of people among themselves. I mean, that's really a fundamental attack on them as human beings, if you think about it, saying that they cannot even be a community of people who share an interest. Really a genocidal kind of statement. It almost doesn't even get more genocidal than that, other than, just saying, I want to exterminate this group or something. I guess that would technically be more genocidal if you just outright say, let's get rid of them. So another telltale sign that someone's a far-right conservative is that they'll often just make things up about someone they don't like, attempting to cram them into an out-group, even if they don't factually belong there. So, obviously that can happen when, conservatives or whatever you want to call them will say that all liberals are communists or whatever. They'll even try to say that, Joe Biden is a communist somehow. And, they tried to claim Obama wasn't born in the United States, that he was a secret Muslim, a secret communist, despite being Wall Street backed, and on and on. They also invented the idea that Obama was creating death panels to kill grandma and FEMA camps to do God knows what. These were claims they later dropped, and even Trump largely abandoned the birther lies about Obama when it became convenient or no longer relevant to his line of attack. And for whatever reason, none of his supporters even seem to care about what a liar Trump was, regarding Barack Obama and all these other people. Now, obviously, liberals and leftists can also lie about others, and they can tell vicious lies. I'm not saying that to lie is to be a conservative or to tell facts is to be liberal. But really, Again, it fundamentally involves our attitudes toward outgroups. That's what really will help clarify what liberal versus conservative means. And oddly enough, when it comes down to it, you can find some liberals and leftists who will sometimes say negative things about outgroups. And you might even say, to some extent, that right-wingers can be perceived as an outgroup, you know, from a certain perspective, I suppose. Of course, one can freely wonder to what extent a liberal is truly liberal or empathetic. Right-wingers love to point out what they consider liberal hypocrisy, and I can understand the appeal of that. I also like to point out liberal hypocrisy or flaws in, you know, thinking of people on the left or what have you. And that's fine so long as they aren't partisan hacks and actually also consider the vast amounts of conservative hypocrisy. Of course, that's something the far right doesn't tend to do. And, you know, you can find people in the Democratic Party who don't care about the hypocrisy of their own favored politicians. So, again, you know, I'm not trying to paint a simple picture that only conservatives can engage in this sort of behavior, or right-wingers, or what have you. So, you know, another question is a self-professed liberal or leftist, and there can be a difference, really empathetic, or are they simply courting the goodwill of people who are already liberally inclined to stay a part of that in-group? Do the same people have a sense of cognitive dissonance when it comes to their own contradictions, which are inevitable? You know, there will always be some contradictions that people have, especially if they're deeply enmeshed in politics, which can be complicated and contradictory, and just about everybody who has any opinion over time, you know, has moderated their view in some way or augmented it somehow because they get new information that can kind of complicate their previous view. So our mental model of the world is built on what we see and how we feel about it. Many things like kindness, caring, and empathy happen in their own place and time. So, you know, on that note, according to the Greater Good Science Center, empathy is a building block of morality for people to follow the golden rule. It helps if they can put themselves in someone else's shoes. The simple fact is, if you have a lot of empathy for an outgroup, for another person who is decidedly different from yourself in some significant way, then you are actually relatively liberal in that instance. For example, about 15 years ago or so, I used to debate in a political forum online called Volconvo. One of my original posts there was about how great it was to have an app that would help quote-unquote illegal immigrants locate water in desert locations so they wouldn't potentially die of thirst while trying to make it to America to have a better life. In fact, if you want to look at that story, it's a CBS News story that I believe is called GPS Phone to Lead Border Crossers to Water. So it's like an app kind of thing. Well, at the time, the right-wingers that I was debating on that forum obviously didn't like that story. They didn't like the availability of that app. And they would much rather apparently see illegals die than come here. And again, that's what they called them. They would call them illegals, you know. And really, one needn't cite a better example of the difference between liberals and right-wingers. I cared, at least in the abstract, about people potentially being able to survive, whereas the self-professed conservatives there didn't care at all if migrants lived or died. You know, they were criticizing their ability to access water, you know, which is fundamental to life, all because they didn't agree with them coming into the country, you know. That, to me, was really a bridge too far. I wasn't willing to say, you know, I want these people to potentially die. So, again, that was basically in the abstract, as I was really just tapping keys on a keyboard and sharing a story link, rather than physically heading to those desert locations and putting water bottles there. But still, the right-wingers in that forum couldn't even be bothered to express empathy in the abstract. In fact, for all I know, they might have even acted crueler than they would have acted in real life. Which is sort of significant. It really shows that these people want to be perceived as lacking empathy for these groups that are considered outsiders and have fallen into disfavor for whatever reason. While I would hope they would be less anti-human in reality, but who knows? You know, we live in a system where living organic human beings are turned into abstract entities, and abstract organizations are made into, like, human form. So, like, we literally have the law saying that corporations are basically human beings. That has actually been encoded in the law thanks to, you know, our crazy system. And that's partly why such cruelty is able to exist, because people are able to transform people into abstract entities. You know, they become much easier to target if they're not recognized as fully human. And, you know, you don't recognize their interests, their wants, or their needs, etc., etc. You don't care about the context of why they are here, what they're doing. You only care about one aspect of them, and that would be their master status. So the fascist far-right attitude would be to sadistically snatch water away from a dying person and to not even give them one last drink. And cruelty and a sense of superiority are the point in a case like that. You know, someone like myself might say, even the worst felon probably deserves a final meal of their choice. It seems the conservative attitude would be, no, let them starve. And they might also propose having no trial for those accused of serious crimes as well. You know, that is the non-liberal approach to, you know, justice, which would actually be more like just savage retribution, where you don't necessarily care about evidence or anything like that. And of course, recently we saw Donald Trump proposing the death penalty for drug dealers without considering how, if one's life might have been different, plenty of us might have wound up as drug dealers or drug users or illegal immigrants or refugees or any number of things that, you know, might put us in a compromising position that would have us demonized by, you know, nativists or whatever. You know, it's a little bit amazing to me that some people can't even imagine, you know, being in a position where you would need to cross a border, for example. Like, if your life is on the line and you need to go somewhere to improve your position in life, you know, just to survive, make ends meet or something like that. Like, why is that such a complicated thing for some people to envision, like, as a scenario? Like, if my neighborhood was bombed, I would be in that very same spot, wouldn't I? Like why is it such a stretch to actually put yourself in that scenario and kind of understand it? But some people, they just don't care, I guess. So I'm not an immigrant, and I've never been to Mexico. Still, I can imagine having been born in Mexico and needing to seek some immediate means of improving my life, regardless of even what any law says. Hell, it doesn't even mean that I 100% understand every problem involved, but I at least make it a point to try. In contrast, some people actively try to avoid putting themselves in those shoes. They prefer them to be abstract and to be seen as practically nothing but a problem and an enemy of sorts. In fact, many Republicans prefer to add even more negative lies on top, you know, such as claiming they're all trafficking in jihadists, which was something that was a pretty common talking point back in the day, in which some people are even still trying to bring back. And of course, we recently heard the lie that, you know, they're going to be bringing in fentanyl-laced Halloween candy and stuff like that. So just really vicious and stupid lies. And I don't want to be such a weird liar, so I am not a far-right dupe or even a mere immigrant basher. So on Quora, as another example, I once mentioned how I am a Finnish American and noted how even Finns faced some discrimination in American history, with some in Minnesota going so far as to try deporting Finnish immigrants under the Chinese Exclusion Act. The point was basically that if they, meaning the far-right anti-outgroup crowd, aren't targeting this group, they're probably targeting that one. And I thought my example would totally drive that point home, because Finns were obviously from Europe. Still, the right-wingers on Quora responded to that post, and it became painfully clear that the sentiment went totally 100% over their heads, despite being a ridiculously obvious point about how crazy right-wing nativist ideology was, and really still is. One Quora response erroneously kept emphasizing that because I called myself Finnish American, it must mean I had immigrated here from Finland myself. And they asked me why I'm criticizing America if I'm not from here, which is laughable because I never have set foot in Finland. And, you know, obviously, aside from that, I can criticize the United States because I'm an adult human being with a functioning brain. I also don't think that person was just trolling me either. I think they really were being genuine. They made those assumptions and stupidly ran with them for a great distance, you know? Got a lot of traction out of them. So I would say that as another example, far right winger and former Fox News propagandist Michelle Malkin actually wrote an entire book about why she thinks Japanese Americans deserve to be put in concentration camps back in the 1940s. And keep in mind, to write a whole book on that rather than just a one-off article really says something about what kind of person she is. Malkin has also hung around with literal white supremacist groups, despite being of Asian descent. And if you were to ask the page, if you were to visit the page of one group whose event she spoke at, you would instantly be forced to conclude, oh yeah, this really is a hate group, and it's not just some liberal lie about them. Like, you can see the white nationalist talking points as plain as day. And that's the group she associated with. And in fact, Airbnb had actually banned her from using their services because she was associating with that white nationalist organization. You know, she was speaking at their events. It's not like she just happened to like one of their posts on Facebook or something, or on Twitter. No, she spoke at their events. She's a prominent figure on their websites, even. Like, they have links to her stuff. You know, she's really out there. And, you know, right-wingers lack empathy for those they consider different a lot of the time. And that's just the way it is. You know, you can't really debunk that at this point because she's a perfect example of that. It's just this twisted inability to put oneself in another's shoes that truly defines the far-right conservatives or the neo-fascists or what have you, you know, whatever you want to call them. Then, of course, you inevitably find these people being egregious hypocrites in some ways. Plenty of conservatives get exposed as having had abortions, extramarital affairs, sexual misconduct scandals, and many are notorious for being closeted despite expressing anti-gay views. They quite often present themselves as Christian while, in many cases, representing the opposite values of what Jesus and the Christian Bible represented. So that's why I am relatively liberal. It doesn't mean I'm saying I'm perfect or never hypocritical, or even that I'm not relatively conservative in any possible way. It really just means I'm markedly less fascistic and far less likely to lie about people that the media regards as outgroups. So there you have it. There's my answer for that question. Hopefully you learned something from this episode. And hopefully you return to listen to me rant about some other topic, whether it's political or otherwise. So, all right, have a good day.